From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues his extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua. Chapter 11 contains a summary of Israel's conquest of the land of Canaan. The writer records Joshua's adherence to the commands which Moses had given regarding the land. He was faithful in carrying out the divine program for conquest, and after the wars, the land had rest. Throughout this series, Dr. Cairns has drawn many spiritual lessons from the various events in the book. In this message, preached on Easter Sunday in 1996, he points out a number of parallels between Joshua and our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that Joshua's mission was a picture of Christ's mission. Each had one great mission, to secure the promised land and to lead God's people into it. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Christ the Mighty Conqueror. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 120 and verse 5. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. As a Christian, you have to live in the midst of an ungodly world, and it is of little use for you to cry, Woe is me. Jesus did not pray that you should be taken out of the world, and what he did not pray for, you need not desire. Better far in the Lord's strength to meet the difficulty and glorify him in it. The enemy is ever on the watch to detect inconsistency in your conduct. Be therefore very holy. Remember that the eyes of all are upon you, and that more is expected from you than from other men. Strive to give no occasion for blame. Let your goodness be the only fault they can discover in you. Like Daniel, compel them to say of you, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Seek to be useful as well as consistent. Perhaps you think, If I were in a more favorable position, I might serve the Lord's cause, but I cannot do anything where I am. But the worse the people are among whom you live, the more need have they of your exertions. If they be crooked, the more necessity that you should set them straight. And if they be perverse, the more need have you to turn their proud hearts to the truth. Where should the physician be, but where there are many sick? Where is honor to be won by the soldier, but in the hottest fire of the battle? And when weary of the strife and sin that meets you on every hand, consider that all the saints have endured the same trial. They were not carried on downy beds to heaven, and you must not expect to travel more easily than they. They had to hazard their lives unto the death in the high places of the field, and you will not be crowned until you also have endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong.
Onward and forward, both body and soul. For ashamed with boldness pursue the approval of Christ in all that you do. Proclaim his great work, be consumed in his love, pursue him alone until with him above. Press toward the mark, strain toward the goal, press onward and forward, both body and soul, for the heavenly prize, for the look in his eyes, and for the crown that will not fade away. Forget things behind, reach farther ahead. Oh, follow the Savior's example instead. Count all gain as but loss, and all loss as but gain to know Him. To know Him. To know Him our glory.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Joshua chapter 11, and we will read from verse 7. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Misrephoth-Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hawked their horses and burned their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor, and smote the king thereof with the sword, for Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. And he burned Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take, and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burnt none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities, and the cattle, the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. And as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-Gad, in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon. And all their kings he took, and smote them, and slew them. Joshua made a war a long time with those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, and from Debir, and from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The 11th chapter of Joshua is the history of Joshua's capture of the land which the Lord had long promised to the children of Israel. It is particularly the story of how he destroyed Jabin, the king of a very important defense city in the north, the city of Hazor, how he took possession then of the whole land, defeating every foe, north, south, east, and west, especially the mighty giants, the Anakim, who had so terrified the spies whom Moses had sent so many years before. The chapter commences with war, and it ends with rest. It starts with the possession of the children of Israel disputed by very forceful enemies. And it ends with that possession in their hands and the enemies laid low in the dust. The general picture is important, but the details are also important. Jabin, the powerful king of Hazor, gathered around him a strong coalition of forces, determined to resist Joshua to the end, and if possible, to drive him back out of the land. Those forces were mighty in number, as I described to you last week. They were better equipped than any force that Joshua and the children of Israel had thus far met in the land of Canaan. They had the implements of war that must have struck great fear into the hearts of any foes. But with a sudden strike, that seems to have been, on a human level, the mark of Joshua's military genius. He reminds me of some modern military tacticians. Joshua, again in purely human terms, was years ahead of his time. Joshua was a military commander who knew the value of the sudden strike that took the enemy by surprise. He was never predictable. He knew what it was to march armies over great distances through rough terrain. He was like a Hannibal long before the time of Hannibal. When I read of Joshua, my mind goes very naturally to the tactics of Napoleon, many, many centuries before Napoleon. On a human level then, he came very suddenly, and he, with that strike, overthrew Jabin and his hosts, as Moses, the man of God, had commanded. And he went on to bring the entire land under his control. Verse 23 says, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war." Now, in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul tells us that Joshua did not give Israel the rest that the Lord had promised from the times of Abraham. Now, think of that carefully. The book of Joshua tells us how he gave them rest. The book of Hebrews says that Joshua did not give them the rest that the Lord had promised. Verse 8 of Hebrews 4, "If Jesus, that is Joshua, had given them rest, then would he, that is God, not afterward have spoken of another day." When you put all the facts together, you learn something very significant. The rest that Joshua gave to Israel was merely symbolic. It was typical of the true rest that God still had in store for his people. And that true rest must be provided by a greater Joshua, even him who bore the same name, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what the first Joshua did provides us with a very vivid picture of the work of the second Joshua, the greater Joshua, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the significance of the text that we have read today, the portion of Scripture in Joshua 11, as I want to set it before you. The meaning is simply this: that Joshua 11 points us to a greater Joshua fighting a greater Jabin and winning a greater victory to put his people in possession of a greater rest and a better inheritance. In other words, as you read the history, and I emphasize that what we have been reading is serious history, but as you read the history of Joshua 11, on the authority of the inspired apostle in Hebrews 4, we can lift the history to a spiritual plane, and we can see a great spiritual message concerning the greater Joshua. What we have in Joshua 11 is a picture of our triumphant Savior. It speaks to us of Christ, the mighty conqueror. As we look at this, I want very simply to draw a few parallels that are very, very obvious between Joshua and Jesus, our Savior. First of all, Joshua's mission is a picture of Christ's mission. Joshua really had only one great mission. He did many things, but he had one great mission. That was to procure the promised land for his people, and then to lead those people into the possession of it. Joshua kept that in mind from the very beginning, but it must have come into very sharp focus as he faced the concentrated forces of Jabin and all his hosts. Joshua's task, as that great host stood against him, Joshua's task was to do all that was necessary, to take a collection of slaves and wanderers and make them the possessors of the choice provision of God. That was Joshua's task, to lead them from famine into fullness, from the wilderness into the wonder of God's provision, according to the terms of God's covenant of grace. That was the mission of Joshua. And you know, that mission of mercy is, though great in itself, only a dim foreshadowing of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.